Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is your host, Monk, and you can find out more about publications and writings and other activities at allbook-books.com. I'm excited to announce this new publication of a book of poetry by Glenn P. Garamella called A Need to Fill. And it's a beautiful painting as the cover artwork, color painting by Doug Reyna, has a Edward Hopper feel to it. And Glenn's poems have a raw honesty and an eye for uplift and peace amid the struggle for peace of mind. His poems are rooted in the natural landscape of Long Island as he confronts challenges of the coronavirus times, along with how one's inner self can relate wisely with a too often fragmented world. So welcome, Glenn Garamella. And start off asking you, it's your first book of poems, so congratulations. And say a little bit about your poetic journey and what it means to have this first book.
Thank you very much, Monk. It's a pleasure to be with you today. This is my first book of poems. I'm quite excited about it. I've been writing and publishing for, the last 3 years, but I've been writing pretty much my whole life since I was a teenager, and most of it on scraps of paper and stuck in books. And with my wife's insistence, she said, you got to get more organized and, you know, start typing these out and making it a little more presentable. And so that's what I started doing. And little by little, a book started to form. And with your help, Monk, we published this first edition, which I'm very excited about. The poems, I think, are connected in a lot of ways. They do, like in your introduction, you do say it, they do come from a peaceful place. And that's what I try to do in the writings. I try to make it something that comes from inside me. Of course, it's always stimulated by an outside event, but it gets morphed through an inner quiet experience. And I think that brings the poems to the reader with a little more openness. I think the poems themselves are very accessible. I don't use complicated language. My thoughts are pretty simple. I don't want to say simplistic, but simple. And they come from a personal place, if I could put it that way.
Yeah, that's a good summary. And you also touched on, even though writing's, you know, solitary for a large degree, there's also the it's also a team effort, you know, with one's in your case, your wife, and me as editor and all that. So it's a book, really is a group effort. So hey, let's hear one of your poems that does reflect what you just described. At the beginning of the book, there's a nice poem called "We've Been Taught." How about reading that one?
Sure, we could start with that. We've been taught to place one foot in front of the other. That's how you make the day happen. I prefer to stop and wait and let the world come to me, not chase after the dream that got away or walk in wider circles after my tail. Much better to plant myself like a tree, wait for the wind to rise up and fill my branches with birdsong.
Yeah, that's a nice, I particularly like that one because it's, it is reflective of the more contemplative and take your time to look at what's going on in the world, which is refreshing compared with so much of the fast-paced, aggressive, and, you know, going out and mining and pipelines and all that stuff where it's trying to get everything from the earth. And your poem reminds us to, stay rooted like a tree and to, feel the breeze and see what's happening before making all the decisions.
So, yeah, that's good. The poems slow you down. You know, they make you take a breath and pause and get into the moment.
And speaking of the moment, you also have a lifelong practice, a meditative practice, and various different, you know, parts of that, and that part of your personal journey. So can you say a little bit about both how that's, you know, helps you with life in general and with your writing.
Yes, I've been meditating for about 40 years now. I meditate twice a day, like the standard practice, you know, 20 to 30 minutes twice a day, morning and evening. And it's been a big, big part of my life. I do it whether I feel like doing it or I don't feel like doing it, whether I'm sick or I'm well. And I've had medical challenges in my life, and I still never missed meditation. It's something that's very, very deep and true to me. It's a big part of my life, and I think the meditative practices inform the poems. I think they come out of that quiet space that meditation brings you to. And it's really a lifesaver for me. It's kept me, you know, grounded, you know, keeps your feet on the ground and your head in the sky. It's got that, you know, that dual effect. It's meditation is very powerful for anyone who's ever tried it or practices it on a regular basis. It just becomes part of the natural rhythm of things, and it's not something alien. It's totally incorporated into your daily routine. And I couldn't imagine life without meditation. I really couldn't. And meditation doesn't just have to be in that 20 or 30 minute segment when you sit down and you know, and practice. You could have those meditative moments throughout the day, and that's what I try to do. I try to pause and take a breath and quiet the mind and observe and reflect on what's around me. And it could be during conversations with people, or it could be out in nature, or just sitting by a fireplace. It doesn't matter where you are. Everyone could just stop and pause and reflect. And that is a mini meditation. And that brings the world to us in a much clearer way.
Yeah, that's to segue into the title poem of the book. I remember years ago I was meditating and I just got this message to plant some sunflower seeds in a whiskey barrel on the patio, and then then the sunflowers grew, and then, you know, years later the goldfinches came and started eating the sunflowers.
Oh,
and that was just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And I thought, wow, this kind of happened from this quiet moment, and then all these events that involve other beings unfolded. So that kind of fits with the title poem. How about reading the title poem?
Called A Need to Fill. Something inside me calls to fill that empty space at the front of the yard. A single voice traveling the length of the body in need of a conversation with the outside world. The thought to add color where there is little. Transplant daylilies and let them sing. Dig out a shovel full of earth. Move the bulbs and roots a stone's throw away. By summer, bright orange and yellow flames appearing, where before only a dry dirt patch.
Very nice. And I also mentioned that the book is perfect bound and 6 by 9 inches, and it's 76 pages, so it's a good little journey of poetry through, you know, a variety of topics, personal and, like I mentioned, the natural world, and a few poems, not too much, but a few poems exploring the dealing with the coronavirus and the sort of quarantine time at home, and how that spawned some poems of creativity. And speaking of, I guess, being on one's own in a meditative way and relating with nature, you wanted to read the Thoreau poem.
I would love to. Last year I went with my family to Walden Pond, and I came away with a poem, and it's called Thoreau's Cabin. Only the granite markers remain. The cabin wasn't built to last, worn down like the nubs of pencils he sold in his father's workshop. Stones would have lasted longer and given the walls a solid history, but 2+ years was all he needed in the hollow cheek of the clearing. Surrounded by pine and hickory, he became a poet of the bearded woods, unafraid to lose his reflection in the water, allowing the forest to become his school. Such courage to live alone with nature, to keep the company of your thoughts, and live without the syrup of conversation, to steer away from the approach of footsteps. He left the pond a greater man, able to hear deep within himself a voice connecting the earth far beyond the canopy of the stars. There's a note that also is included at the bottom of the poem, and it goes like this. Though often idealized as a solitary man living in the woods near Walden Pond, Thoreau also traveled and was schooled by members of the Penobscot Nation. The Thoreau-Wabanaki Trail in Maine honors those travels and interchanges. I guess, you know, not everybody's always alone. You do connect with other people along the journey, and Thoreau certainly did that.
Yeah, the note is good. It's a good example of the kind of mythology of the idealized kind of rugged individualism that sometimes is sort of American myth, because there really is, you have to get along with, as the natives say, all the relations, all our relations other than human. And I had, when I first learned that from a native friend about that Thoreau was, that, you know, had met native people and received some guidance, and I thought, wow, that changes the dynamic of what he did, and so it's a good note to put in there.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's true. Remind us that we have to connect with the world and other people, and they, you know, they're our teachers. Everyone is our teacher. Everyone we come in contact with.
Yeah, nice way to put it. Anything else you would like to add about the book, or, you know, just in general the process of writing, or anything along
that? It was a great journey. It was more work than I thought it was going to be. But with your help, it was a smooth transition, from, you know, number of pages scattered about to a cohesive, coherent whole as a book. And I think it works. I think it's a good book of poems. I'm proud, for this to be my first step. I'm still writing, and, you know, maybe it takes a few years to assemble a book, but maybe there's another one in myself, hopefully.
All right, I think there is, and the journey is, there's several phases, as I always tell writers in with the book. There's the writing of it, which feels like the journey, but actually once a book is published is really sort of when the journey begins. It's like getting the work out there. The work gets out there, it has a life of its own. So the book, the information is on the is in the email, and people can order it through the All Book Books website. There's a PayPal, and more, you can mail a check, and that information is listed there. So, thanks so much, Glenn, and thanks for your good works. And I wish you well with the book and with your life.
Thank you so much, Monk. Thank you for all your help, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about my poems.
All right, you're welcome. Take care, and thank you all for listening. Have a good one.